And now, back to Jim and Randall for more Lawyers Who Needs Them.
And Professor Staccato right there on the orchestra, playing away here on this wonderful day. It's a good day to be alive, isn't it?
At my age, any day is a good day to be alive.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who
I get
Needs
up
them.
In the morning, I stretch out my arms, and if I don't feel wood, I get up. What are you laughing at?
That's pretty funny.
Don't make fun of old people.
I'm laughing at what you said about yourself. Anyway, my partner, Mr. Hartman,
who passed away yesterday,
could go at any minute.
That's right.
Pay very close attention, ladies and gentlemen, because if you missed it, you might not hear it again. Okay. Well, welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
I'm Jim Hartman.
And let's just jump right back into this, because this is a very interesting. This is one of the times where you really have to ask yourself, what do I believe about this? Because there is a Connecticut jury that has just imposed the death sentence on someone for not only for an horrific crime, he has a history of being horrific,
right.
And they said, this is it, we're going to put him where the sun don't shine.
Well, one of the things is they deliberated 4 days, not on his conviction, that they convicted him of, but on whether he should receive the death sentence. And when asked why they took the 4 days, they wanted to be very sure. They all agreed that he should get the death sentence.
Now, what did he do?
Well, here's what he did. He invaded this house.
Oh, that's nice.
And beat up the person. Let me see. And
What did he do? Come on, tell me. What did he do?
I'm trying to tell you. It's so horrible. I can't even talk about it. He got the wife, got her to go to the bank, take out money, give her money, came back, raped her, murdered her, molested one of the daughters, tied them both in bed.
I'm sorry,
set the house on fire.
Oh my God.
Where a 17-year-old Haley Pettit and 11-year-old Michaela Pettit were killed.
Oh,
Mrs. Pettit was killed, and the husband, how he escaped, I know he didn't escape, he's Dr. William Pettit, he was beat up, beaten, tied up. It was just unbelievable.
Horrific.
And everything happened that was wrong. So the question is, the brutality of the case actually sent waves through Connecticut.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was the worst type of murder. And the question is, should they impose the death penalty? Connecticut has the death penalty provided the jury decides.
Okay.
See? I can't think of any case that would more have warranted the death penalty than this. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not opposed to the death penalty. I'm not worried about there's one innocent person and 100 million murder killers are going to. There's no question in this case what happened.
Right.
Because there were two people involved, only one was tried so far, and they blamed it on each other. Oh. Well, if you blame it on each other, you know what happened.
Right.
So they deliberated and came in. Well, what's interesting is that they commented on what a life-changing event it was to serve on a jury.
Oh, I would have, with a case like this.
How they became friendly with each other and also appreciated the seriousness of what they did. And I want to say this, if I may, that people who do not want to serve on juries should really reexamine their own decision in that regard. Because every juror I've ever spoken to who at first didn't want to serve, afterwards said they would love to serve again.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it a very good experience. Now, very often it depends on how good the lawyers are, what the case is about. But I've never had a situation in which they said they were sorry they served on the jury.
Well, that's because you were so entertaining.
No, not, the fact is that here, and this is a criminal case, but there are other
this
cases.
This is a terrible case.
And this is a tough case to sit as a juror.
Absolutely.
And this is a very tough situation. But they said there was never a shouting match. Everybody was civil. They were all agreed. They were privileged, and they worked extremely hard. So this is a credit to the jury system.
Yes, it is.
They decided that the guy ought to get the death penalty, and I think there's no better reason. And for all of those, I can't understand opposition to the death penalty. Why would you want to pay $60,000 a year to keep this guy alive?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Crazy. That's what it costs you to put him in jail.
Well, here's what I think. I think they should do the stoning. I think this warrants the stoning. What do you think?
But in the Muslim world, where they stone, that's only for adultery.
Oh.
For murder, they hang you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's all right.
He would get hung.
Yes.
And
then firing.
Although we could ask if they would extend stoning to this kind of a thing.
Here's what I would like to propose in this particular case. I'd like to propose starting with a stoning, then go to a hanging, then drawn and quartered, and then a guillotine if you can find the pieces.
That's right.
Oh, my
God. Well, I almost once thought that the punishment should be exactly the same as the crime.
As the crime.
So if they slit a guy's throat, you slit his throat.
Ooh, an eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye. That's right.
Yes. That's from the Old Testament.
A toe for a toe.
Yeah.
From the Bible, from the Old Testament.
Yeah, for a bunion for a bunion.
A bunion for a bunion.
All right.
In any event, I think the result here was correct. And
go for
on we go.
All right. Well, we have a professor who has made a prediction. He said law schools will be closing in our future. Do you think about that, Professor?
I think he's probably right, except they're moneymakers, law schools. But fewer and fewer lawyers are being hired. Law graduates are being hired by the large firms, which pay. And these kids come out of law school with huge debt because the tuition is outrageous, based upon the outrageous salaries they pay these professors who teach 9 hours a week
right.
and write a lot of commentaries the rest of the time that nobody ever reads. It's better to read those commentaries than to take a sleeping pill because they're not habit forming.
Right.
The thing is, you fall right asleep. You don't get in the habit of reading it because it's about as interesting as watching wet cardboard dry. But anyhow, the article notes that the law school tuition has risen at such a rate, so much higher than inflation, that forcing students to borrow ever greater sums of money is counterproductive.
Right.
And that the recession has reduced the number of highly paid associate positions so that students have decided, now this is going to mean, if it's what this professor, what he's trying to convey, is that they're going to be less people attending law school, realizing its economic advantages don't exist.
Right.
And therefore, there will be empty seats, and therefore, this formerly money-making part of the universities will start to close because they will not have sufficient students to fill the chairs.
But don't we have too many lawyers anyway, sincerely?
We have many too many lawyers. Are you kidding me?
Right.
We've got a million and a quarter lawyers in the United States.
Right. Close a few schools.
So we have 330 million people, let's say. You know, approximately. I haven't counted them recently.
All right.
And you have 1.25 million lawyers. You got one lawyer for every 300 people. Now,
everybody should have their own lawyer.
Of those people, a third are probably children, school children.
Right.
So now you got one lawyer for every 200 people. Of the 200 people, how many lawyers, how many legal problems do they have? To buy a house, they make a will, they live and they die. Maybe they get divorced.
Right.
Then you get a maniac to take your case. So, you go, you know.
So you're talking about one for every 100 people.
Well, for every 100 people who would have a legal problem. Well,
right.
That's a lot of lawyers.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you see the number of documents and things that these corporations have to prepare under the Securities and Exchange Commission, you get like a prospectus and the K-1s and the 15s and the Q and the BGGs.
Right.
And there are hundreds of pages of absolutely the driest, just the most boring, horrible, repetitious in the world, but lawyers have to prepare that.
Yeah. Well, they must.
They get hundreds of dollars an hour
to sit there
and bore themselves to death to engage in one of the most tedious professions in the world.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Why would anyone, after hearing that, ever want to spend one day
as
a lawyer?
Well,
because the cash is good.
No,
What
about the fee?
All right. It's still a very fine profession, made up by very fine people, and you get an occasional tomato.
That's right.
That's all I can say.
With seeds.
And those seeds spread all over the place.
Right.
You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. When we come back, we're going to share a few other items with you and maybe talk a little about some of our more wealthy colleagues.
Right.
Right here on Lawyers Who Needs Them. Don't touch that dial.